Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, my name is Les Jones. I'm the creative director at Practice Plan, and in today's podcast, I'm here with award-winning dentist and serial entrepreneur Dev Patel. Hi, Dev.
Hi there, Les.
And we're here to talk about the results of the fifth NHS confidence monitor that's been recently carried out by Practice Plan. And if you want to see the results of the confidence monitor while you're listening to the podcast, just click on the link in the introduction to this podcast. So the results are in, Dev. I think it's fair to say that they show quite a negative reaction from the vast majority of NHS dentists, and confidence levels seem to be really on the floor. Are you surprised by the results at all?
Not really. I think being in the profession myself, graduating only 4 years ago, every single person I speak to who works within the NHS or comes out of university has the same feeling as what we're coming out from this report. So it was pretty much what I expected it to be honest with you.
And does it kind of marry up with your own experience of speaking to people who are working with the NHS?
Yeah, I think it's almost very, very accurate. I can't see any numbers in there that really surprised me. Most of them were actually a bit better than I thought it'd be in terms of actually what the people thought about the NHS. But generally, there is a very large majority of people who don't like working with the NHS right now.
Yeah. What do you think are the key reasons behind that? What's you know, making those dentists within the NHS space feel so demotivated and lacking confidence?
Well, I think one of the things is when you come out of university, you've got a expectation of how things work within, you know, a hospital setting. So it's quite relaxed, you've got everything given to you, there's no time restraints, there's no targets, it's just, you know, very kind of easy setting. And when you come out of university and after your FD year, you get a bit straight at the deep end, because your boss or whoever you work for, or if you're only in practice, you have really, really tough targets to hit. And you end up seeing maybe 7 patients a day, and then up to 30 to 40 a day within less than a year after graduating. So you're almost quadrupling your workload and trying to do the same level of dentistry and the same quality, which is difficult. You know, you're only human beings and they were not machines. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, from the NHS point of view, well, actually, if you look at it from an overall point of view here, you've got three key stakeholders. You've got the patients, the NHS, and the dentists, or dental profession. Mm-hmm. The NHS have got no money left, as we all know. Not their fault. Well, I'm not going to say anything about that. But anyway, it is what it is, and they're very, very kind of, you know, tight the money at the moment and their budgets, which is a good thing for them to save the money, make sure they can you know, make sure that the financial losses in the whole country don't keep getting worse. But at the same time, there's a massive knock-on effect to all the healthcare. And also, they've got an aged population, which makes it even harder. Because rather than put more money into kind of, you know, compensate for the aged population, they get less and less money in there, which means less contracts, which means less access to their dentists. The stakeholders, from the patient point of view, they want to pay less and less all the time. And I think they are paying a lot of money on taxes, so they should be getting good service. They expect the best service basically possible. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, on the NHS, there are limitations. You know, you're not a huge, unlimited fund of money that you can keep pumping money in just to give whatever you want on the NHS. But the patients expect that. So you're expecting very high expectations for patients and the NHS too. And the dentist on the end of that whole stick, looking at it, saying, "Well, you can't ask us to do the best quality for less money and more work, because you know you're going to get an unhappy workforce," which is what's happened.
Yeah, and I mean, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel at all? Can you see how the NHS contract is moving forward with the prototypes at the moment, which, you know, again, doesn't seem to be any end in sight in terms of a kind of a national new contract coming on board. Can you see any, you know, rays of hope?
Well, I've got to give it to Sara Hurley. She has done a great job so far since she started. She has been really pushing in the right buttons and trying to get people moving. Because I think before, especially when I graduated, when I first came out of university, I think everyone was just kind of stuck in their ways and didn't want to do anything, just accepted the way it was and didn't want to make things progress. So she's doing the right things. So I think we have got a good leader in terms of the profession now. But at the same time, we have to realise that it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, even she struggles sometimes. The governments take so long to do anything, new contracts, policies, funding. And if you look at it from a long-term point of view, we've been waiting for, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years now for this new contract. It may never come. It may come hopefully the next few years. But it's one of those things that we always put on the back burner because medicine's always going to be more important than dentistry because, you know, it's a smaller market. So hopefully with the new contract, we'll see better clinical care, that's for sure. So we'll get better results for patients, which is good. There'll be less people trying to, you know, make money from UDAs only and just doing kind of patch dentistry just to kind of get the money, give them money quickly. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. The only plan in the tunnel is hopefully, you know, just can actually bring in some more funding in the future. But whether that happens or not, it's just, you know, it's the God question, isn't it?
So just drilling down into the results a little bit, were there any of the results that particularly caught your eye that either surprised you or made you think differently about your attitudes to NHS dentistry?
All of them were very, very similar to what I expected. One that really stuck out to me was, I think it says 70% of dentists who work within the NHS wanted to leave in 5 years. That's quite a scary number.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, I think 80% of the country still, you know, patients still go to NHS dentists.
Yeah.
Or what we see on the NHS. Private market is still very small. So if you think about that, the workforce who actually can deliver that care don't want to work there. That's quite a scary number. And if that happens within 5 years, we're going to be seeing a lot of people moving towards the private or just leaving the NHS completely. So there'll be an even shorter numbers of people in the workforce, which means even longer waiting times. Because I know some places have got 6 month waiting times now for appointments.
So that's a kind of a little, that's quite a kind of ticking time bomb there, isn't it?
In terms of,
you know, if even half of those people who said that they wouldn't like to be in the NHS in 5 years' time actually went through with that, that suggests there's going to be a massive hole in terms of attracting people into NHS dentistry. Can you see that as a problem that's really going to manifest itself?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, if you look at it in 5 years, 10 years' time, if a lot of people aren't working or don't want to work with the NHS, who's going to do all the work? Who's going to do all the UDAs or whatever it may be in the future? And I think what's going to happen is there's going to be a massive kind of, you know, thinking process here between the government and you know, the NHS makers who do policies and control the contracts. Of what do we do? And I think one of the things I think, you know, that we're going to talk about afterwards was potentially making a core service of where they actually have the core NHS services, and the rest of them, you know, the actual GDPs who won't work outside the NHS just go private.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, no one knows the future, no one knows the budgets, no one knows what's going to happen, so we just see how it goes, really.
Just for people listening who might not be fully in tune with this, just explain what you mean by core service.
So when you have primary care dentistry right now, you've got your core service in terms of what you need to get done initially to kind of get out of pain and problems. You kind of think of it as like an A&E for dentistry almost. They do the same thing in Australia and some other countries around the world where they've got like a core government service, which is for people who really, really need the help or can afford any kind of dentistry, more for the high need patients. So if you think about all patients who are high needs and there's a core service just for them, and everyone else, which is the majority of the population, just have to kind of pay to go almost, you know, like private dentistry. But I'm sure the prices will then adjust to make sure that it's a bit more affordable for them. But at the same time, it'll probably be the only way forward because there's literally no money in the NHS to keep bringing more contracts in there.
Yeah. So in the survey, we specifically asked the question of as to whether the NHS should consider moving to a core service. And a majority of the dentists that came back on that question said, yes, they thought it was a good idea to move towards that model. Is that something that you think might actually start to gain some traction within the government? And they start to really look at that idea seriously on the basis that, you know, there's quite a categorical statement that there's no more money for the NHS dentistry.
I think they should definitely look into it. Whether it happened or not is another story. Because as I said before, the patients in the day will do have very high expectations of what they want to get from the NHS, especially with industry. And if the government don't give them that same level, they're going to feel under, or, you know, kind of like they're kind of wasting their time and money on taxes on this whole service over the years. So they might feel hard done by. So I think we can hope for it, but you know what, this is way beyond the kind of, you know, our pay grade. So I think it's one of those things that we're going to hope and see what happens, really, because I mean, I've been telling, you know, the NHS for many years now about prevention, innovations that I'm doing as well, how they can save money, millions and millions of pounds for almost a tiny fee for like, you know, saving brushing hams, for example. You can just give one brushing device like Nicolet patches to patients for less than, you know, £2-3.
Mm-hmm.
And you can save hundreds of pounds per patient every year. Is that not a no-brainer? But one of those things take time to come into. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. Let's just change tack a little bit and have a look at some of the other results. 67% of private dentists and 95% of NHS dentists answering the questionnaire reported levels of anxiety about the risk of complaints and litigation. And that's clearly something that's on the up at the moment. What are your thoughts on that?
I think litigation shouldn't really be an issue for dentists to be worried about if they're doing good dentistry.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that it's not actually their fault sometimes. It's more to the fact that the people governing the actual litigation, I think, you know, the bodies that actually look over us and kind of govern the way we work, aren't giving fair trials, or they aren't looking at the right cases in the right way. And actually, this is making it more scary for dentists rather than actually the work they're doing. Because actually, if you look at most dentists, they do dentistry. And so there always will be, like, you know, the few rogue people who just do, you know, bad dentistry. But if it's been managed and you know, it's like complaints policies. If, as long as you manage them the right way, you'll get good results, and patients and dentists won't feel so worried all the time. Litigation is rising in every single profession, not just in dentistry. It's like you become a new trend now. Everyone's for something. It's like America. Yeah, but it shouldn't be a case of if you're doing good dentistry, you should be worried. It should be a case of if you're doing good notes and good dentistry, you should be fine. The problem is that the people who are governing us aren't governing properly.
Right. Let's also look at adhering to GDC standards. In the actual Confidence Monitor results, 85% of NHS dentists believe that it's harder to adhere to GDC standards in the NHS compared to if they were working within a private environment. Do you think they're right?
I don't think that should be an issue, to be honest with you, because private or NHS, you should be still giving the patient the best possible care. I think the only issue really with NHS is that the time you get is less. Because you have less time to do proper notes, and that's where the biggest issue is. And I think the clinical care should still be the same. You shouldn't be doing anything unethical or anything against the guidelines. But the GDC's requirements for note-keeping and general kind of, you know, care for patients is asking a lot. If you've only got a 10-minute slot with a patient, you know, I mean, what can you do in 10 minutes?
Mm.
And I think if any of them from the GC actually worked in a practice, in a mixed practice or an edges practice for a whole day, you know, seeing patients 40 a day, they'll realise it's not as easy as it makes it sound to be, especially when they've got people on trial.
Yeah, and that is a big thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that kind of the balance, as you say, that everyone's been trained to the same level and they have the skills to deliver. Dentistry to the right level, but the time constraints are the things that are putting the pressure on.
Yeah.
Is there any way around that, you think?
It just comes down to back to basics again. So less funding means, you know, you want Bosch to do more targets. More targets mean more patients. More patients mean less time. So it's just this knock-on effect from the number one person at the top, which is the funding. So
yeah.
It's going to happen either way. I think the only thing we can do really is just to make sure that whatever you do, whether it be NHS industry or private industry, you still do it to best capabilities and you still treat patients the same way, because otherwise your standards will drop over time and that's being in trouble.
So finally, Dev, you're a young entrepreneurial guy within dentistry, award-winning. And you've got a long future ahead of you, you know, in the profession. What's your level of confidence in dentistry going forward? How do you see the future of dentistry developing?
Good question. I think dentistry has got a lot of potential to catch up to other countries, such as the US, Australia, Western Europe, where they're more privately based, and it's they've segmented it into such a market where you've got the market, which is the core market, which is privately based, and you can give high quality work, patients and dentists, and you know, everyone's happy. But at the same time, we have to have the NHS because it is our kind of foundation of the country and, you know, the bread and butter for most dentists in the country. So it's a bit of balance. And where that balance is and how that works, I've got no idea. But let's see what happens, I guess.
Are you positive?
Yes. Ish.
Dev, thanks very much for your thoughts. Fascinating. As ever, as mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, if you want to actually see the results for yourself, just click on the link that's in the introduction to this episode. Dev, thanks very much.
Thank you, Les.